Everybody, I'm Eric. I'm the speaker giver.
Hi, Eric.
It is now my great pleasure to introduce our speaker, who's a dear, dear friend of mine. Her name is Gita S., and she's made her way here all the way from Thailand.
Hi, I'm Gita. I'm grateful to a member of Al-Anon. Wow, I'm nervous. I need to go pee. Oh my God, it's so miracle that, you know, I'm feeling grateful to be a member of Al-Anon. Because when I first came in, I just want to be grateful about coming to this room and just listen to you guys talking about your loved one, complaining. Thank you for being me of letting me be of service today. It is first, I want to congratulate you guys survived all the holidays. Yeah. I don't know how you do it. I know how I did it. I did not do it alone. I have you guys with me. That's why I survived the holidays. But, gentlemen, one more coming next week. Just be careful. If your women are like me, just be prepared to be sent to death row. Because for me, nothing is good enough. You know, my husband either spend too much money on the flower, or he a cheap ass and go get flowers. And finally, one year he got it right, perfect price, perfect flower, but where is the diamond ring? But you know what? All that is not him, it's just me, because nothing is good enough for me. That's why I'm here. So, here we are. I got introduced to the Al-Anon that when I met my husband, and he okay for me to break his anonymity. He's an alcoholic, and he tell me that, honey, I am an alcoholic. And I said, no, you are not. And he said, yes, honey, I am an alcoholic. I said, honey, you are not. You just listen to me and you'll be okay. And he told me he in AA, he do the step work and he get fellowship and all those kind of stuff. I still don't believe him, but I let him go to the meeting. Told me that, you know, they have a program that's called Al-Anon. It's for family and friends of alcoholics. If you go to your Al-Anon, maybe be help. So I asked him, is that going to help you or help me? And he said, going to help us. And I told him that, you know, you have the problem, go fix your problem, and you can be perfect. And because my thinking, if he be perfect, I already perfect. I was born perfect. So if he be perfect, he work his program, and he be perfect, and our married right would be perfect. And so he give up on that. So he invited me to his AA meeting. And I go with him. Not because I want to know what is AA about. I want to make sure he make it to the meeting and he did it right. And again, I was thinking if he do it right, he would be perfect. And our married life would be perfect. Because, you know, in my life, nothing had to do with me. Everything happened in my life because they did it to me. And so I think it's the greatest ever that I go to an AA meeting with him. It's helped me so much to understand the alcoholism. Because for me, I don't understand. You don't want to drink, don't pick up the drink, period. What else can be harder than that? right? But I do not know that, you know. Come to the choice, alcoholics, they can't stop drinking on their own. They have the disease, they have the ism. And I thought they are a bad person, they are bad people. They just use that as an excuse. So that's how I got introduced to the Al-Anon, but I never came. So the reason I came to the Al-Anon, we are combined family. My husband have one daughter, it's our oldest daughter, and I have one, so both they are our daughter, because you know, we raised them since they were young. And our oldest daughter is about 12. She started doing things that I think she should do. And about 14, things got worse. So I remember about people talk about Al-Anon, so I agreed to camp. And I just came to the Al-Anon just to get the answer that how to fix my people. And I just want to get the answer. I come into the room, I want to get the answer, and I just want to leave. I don't want to stay. You know, just like go to 7-Eleven, get my quick fix, you know, Slurpee and hot dog, and fix, I'm done, I'm fine. Nice to know you. And when I came in, you guys keep telling me that, keep coming back, keep coming back. I said, keep coming back for what? You know, if you just give me the answer, I promise you I won't bother you anymore. That's it. And, you know, I came in and the lady told me that, honey, you cannot fix anybody else. You only can fix yourself. What I heard that you are the problem. And that's it. I'll swear out that room and say I will never come back. And, but I guess I don't have a place to go. You know, I come in every day. I just sit in the room. Most of the time I fall asleep. Because if nothing else, I got that 1 hour quiet moment, which I don't have in my real life. You know, at home, I never sleep. I will watch people like a hawk in my home. I will check my oldest daughter. I will check on my husband. I will check on my younger daughter. I just walk around the house. Anybody gonna break into my house? I would go crazy every day. And so I keep coming, and all I heard was just you guys. I thought I just came in, I would get the answer how to fix my people. And I feel like I came into the room and meet a bunch of fake people. I thought you guys are fake. Because you talk about your loved one overdosing, then skid row, and the next thing you talk about something funny and you laugh. Why are you guys sitting here and laugh about them? Why don't you go out there and fix them and make them better people and everything would be perfect? And so, and another thing I heard is just about, you know, how you grow up in an alcoholic's household and chaos, dysfunction family. I never have experience of that. This is how I remember how I grew up. How I grew up with my dad is in the military, he's a general, and my mom stay-at-home mom. I can feel all the love in our house. You know, four of us, I'm the youngest of four, that we are four daughters, that I can feel all the love. My mom will cook her order for each of us, and everything is about us. And we get to choose what to eat, we get to choose where to go, and we get to choose what to do, which is great, you know, everything is all about us. And when we get in trouble, my mom always said, because you hang out with the wrong friends. It's great. I never get in trouble. So that's how I grew up. But for some reason, I have these feelings that I am responsible for everybody's happiness. You know, they have already have three sisters. And here I am, another sister. They want boys so bad. And since I can remember that it's my job to fulfill their dream, what they want. And here I am. I'm a little tomboy, carry two boxes and help my dad fixing car, fixing the house, and doing all plumbing and all those kind of stuff. And my mom, on the other hand, just typical Asian mom. If you grow up in an Asian family, you are expected. You expect to be pretty, to be good, to be smart, to be successful, and to be perfect. And my mom loved to dress up all of us. All my sisters, just like little princess dress and, you know, nice hair, have the bow in their hair, that kind of stuff. I never liked that. I was a tomboy. So, and she's always nag and talk about that, how I wasn't pretty. And I feel like, I knew she loves me, but I feel like she did not love me as much as she loved my sisters. And she did not give me the attention as much as she gave all to my sisters. So for me to gain that love, you know, I became perfect. I thought I have to be perfect. I become a good girl. I'm an honor student. I get into the number one college in the country. I graduate with honors roll. And I thought, if I do all that, then my mom will love me the way that I think she should love me. So that's how I grew up. And when I was 16, my sister was pregnant in high school. Immediately, I thought it's my job that to take care of that. So I run away from the house and take care of my sister, get the apartment, still going to school, and get the job, take care of my sister. 4 months later, she had a son, that's my son now. She had my son and she disappeared. Here I am, you know. I got 2 jobs, full-time student and full-time mom. I did it for 2 years. And I was in college now, and 2 years later, I took my son home to my parents. Again, was they love him. They were so happy. As a grandson they have. And because of my perception, I thought it's my job to protect them. I don't want my parents to be disappointed. I don't want my parents to be sad. And in those 2 years, so I managed to save up money. And I bought a house, a little house. And I brought my parents to and showed them, and my dad just used like, well, we can paint, what you want me to do, I can fix this and that. And my mom just walked around the house and so quiet, and she looked and walked and walked. I want to hear something from her. And finally, what I heard, she said, the house is too small. I don't want to hear that. That's not what I expect to hear. So I continued to finish college, and because my mom wanted me to get a degree so bad. And I graduated from college, I bring the degree to her, and again she looked and looked and looked and so quiet, and I was waiting for her to say something. She looked at me and she said, okay, where are you going for master's degrees? I would just look at her. My head was screaming and yelling and kicking. Are you kidding me? I was suffering to go to school for you. I don't want to go to school. I am an artist. I like the culture. I want to go do things. I want to travel a lot and absorb all the culture around the world. And another thing that I feel like I was smarter than everybody at school. Why would I go to school? I don't need that. And but I say yes, mom. Because I thought if I do a little more, she will love me more. So here I am. I came here. And you know, I don't know that I am attracted to alcoholics or not. But I know I love to hang out with people who are drinking and partying. They were fun. So fun. And I have no problem if you're drinking, but don't ever get drunk. that when I start having a problem. I don't care, you know, what kind of drunk you are. You can be a happy drunk, you can be a mean and crazy, wild drunk. No, don't get drunk. I just start having a problem. And no, as I know now, you know, I am as sick as alcoholic. I have the same disease, if not more. But my drug of choice is control. I have to be in control, and control only that can fix me. That's my delusion of being in control. The alcohol doesn't do for me like they did to alcoholics. And I have the same cycle. I have the high, I have the drunk, I have the hangover. But I have emotional drunk. I have emotional hangover. I feel so powerful when I'm yelling and screaming and manipulating to do for make people do things. And that bitterness, guilty, the feel ugliness, that is my hangover. And so here I am. I came here to get to go to master degree for my mom. And of course, this is free country. I never finished school because I'm so far away from her. I feel like she not look over my shoulder anymore. She won't know what I'm doing. And, you know, but here I am, 8,000 miles away from where I was before. I still have the same problem. And I feel like I keep running away, but I don't know what I'm running away with. I mean, from. Then I realized that I was running away from myself. I hate myself. I never pretty enough. I never smart enough. I never good enough. And, you know, I feel like I keep running away until to the point that I get over of the cliff. I have two choices. I can keep running and kill myself, or I can turn around and face my own problem. Thanks God that lady was right. You know, I am the problem. So, and thanks God that I have one foot in the room. I know what to do. I know where to go. So I make decision that I'm gonna start working this, all these steps. That's what you're talking about. I heard so many things about that, you know, 12 step, one day at a time, I give you 12 days. If I be one step a day. I thought if I finish the 12 step, my people will be fixed. And so I was faking it for this first 3-4 months of the meeting and situation at home got worse. And I got worse too. And I realized that, you know, I have to work this step for myself. So you talk about having sponsor. You said, you know, suggestion to have sponsor. What I heard that I had to have sponsor to work through the steps. So I got sponsor. When I first got my sponsor, I think she has too many sponsee. I think she should have one sponsee, and that sponsee should be me. Because this is who I am. I want it all, I want it all for myself. I'm not willing to share anything. So I got sponsor, and we walked through all these steps. Thank God for my sponsor. She just spent all those time with me. 1, 2, and 3 are very difficult for me. Because the word that, which one? I can't find it. So, we were powerless over alcohol and my life become unmanageable. I talk about my life, not your life. So, I don't get it. How would I be powerless? I can yell, I can scream. If you don't do it, I can choke you and beat you up hard enough. If that doesn't work, I can manipulate you and cook and clean, whatever you name it, I manipulate that and eventually you will do things what I want you to do. And the second part is just like, my life become unmanageable. I don't get it. I cook, I clean, I pay bills on time, my kids go to school, they get honor roll, straight A, they got trophy on track team and swim team. My husband stayed in the job and all this stuff. My sponsor asked me that, Gita, what is goal for your life? Oh, my goal, if my husband still stay in the job and my kid get married, have a kid, and be successful in their life, then I achieve my goal. So she asked me the same question more than 10 times. Until I understand the question, until I heard it, I was crying. Just crying like a baby. And believe me, I'm not a cry baby because I hate people crying. I think when people cry, they are weak. You don't cry. You grow up in military world, you don't cry. You get things done. So that's how I remember that I don't have goal for myself. I became what I do. That's all I know. And I became what you want me to be. That's what I thought. So we continue walking the step. The difficult step for me is step 9. Because for me, saying sorry, that remind me that I'm not perfect. And I can't stand being not being perfect. That's my perception. So I remember that the first amends I made that to our oldest daughter. Because I blame on her everything. I thought she's the one who destroyed my happy family. She's the one who destroyed everything in my life. But I realized that she did not put a gun on my head to do all that. Every decision I make is on my own. And I get to make amends on my part. It's so difficult because for me, if I may say sorry, I'm waiting. When is your turn? When are you going to say sorry? Because you have a part two, right? But it's just the beauty of the program that I only have to look at my side. And I remember I feel so free when I make amends to her. I feel so free that, free of myself, self-abundant. That's what I put myself in that prison. And all these years in my whole life, I'm waiting for someone else to open up that door to let me free. Nobody can do that. First of all, I don't let anybody. And it's just amazing how I felt. And you know, and I realized that she did not do it to me. It's her decision. Whether I'm there or not, she's gonna do what she's gonna do. It's not about me. And I thought in my whole life, you know, anything happened in my life, I just let it roll off of my shoulder. But I did not realize that it's rolled off of my shoulder, but it's dropped in my backpack. And I am the one who carried that backpack with me. That backpack is full with resentment, fear, guilt, you name it. By the time I walk into this room, my backpack is overflowing. It's so full. I can't even function. I cannot even walk straight. I cannot even stand on my feet. But because of the program, now it's time for me to empty that backpack. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be painful. But I know after that I will feel free and happiness. So I don't have to do much. I just have to do one at a time if I really wanted to. So I may continue to finish this 12 step. I got the experience of this step 12. Because of all the work, all this step before, you know, all the 12 step work, I was so honored to get to carry message to my own country. We went to Thailand. They have AA, but they don't have Al-Anon. I got to bring Al-Anon to my own country in my own language. The first time when I heard the Serenity Prayer in Thai, I was crying. It's so deep in my heart. And we got there. I got to speak there. And of course, you know, my DC tell me that this is not gonna work. Your message is not gonna work. You have nothing to offer. You're not good enough. After that speak, more than 50 people, they were crying and they come and talk to me like, this is what we need. They relate to it. Even the alcoholics, they come and thanks me that this is what we need for our family to understand. I was just thanking God for that. And, you know, nothing, I can't describe that how I felt. It's just my own country in my language. And I still have, I help open up, starting two meeting there, and I still have a phone meeting. I'm telling you, I'm not a morning person. Every Wednesday morning, I wake up at 5:30 to do the meeting. Now we expand to another one in the Tuesday morning, so we have two meetings going on. And it's worth it. You know, it's worth it. I'm still doing that. I complain every time I have to get up. After that meeting, I'm just like, the complaint of God, I feel so good. They help me more than I help them. I know that for sure. So why I'm doing the step work and go to the tradition and concept, doing the program work, our daughter got worse and worse and worse. You know, and from bad behavior, harming herself, suicidal attempt. It's just 911 call weekly. They remember our voice now. We don't even tell them what happened. They would show up. And to the point that we cannot keep her safe at home. We have to send her to our upstate facility. The day that my husband took my, I don't even have the balls to do it. I made my husband take her. And I dropped him off at Burbank Airport. I couldn't drive home for 2 hours. I got the tools, I call my sponsor, I call all my aunt, my sister and brothers. Because for me, I feel so guilty. What kind of mother I am? I cannot save my child. I cannot raise my child to grow up to be successful. And I have to ask myself, am I loving that child enough to send her to get the help that she needs? Because I cannot help. Every time I try to help, I make it more worse. So that's what we did. And I realized that, you know, I was a good mom. I have a good intention. I give the best on everything I ever have to my child. I may not like my behavior and action at the moment, but that's all I have and what I can do. So she went to and now she on her journey. She's gonna be 21 in a few months, 6 months. She will find. She having her life. She doing things what she wants to do. But here I am. When she left on her own, I'm a mess. Because I will sit there and worry, because I think if I worry enough, things gonna be changed. I have to let her go. And she have her own journey. She survived. She was happy. Every time we talked, she was so happy. She would tell me what she did, what she used, what she do. Thank you for you guys. I learned how to listen. When I start to listen, I hear more. Because for me, I don't have communication skill. My communication is, I'm talking, you listen, and you do it. Even buy her. Why would your opinion is not gonna matter anyway? Why would I waste my time? That is how my communication. Now I learn how to listen. Thanks God for that beep 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 timer. I took that home. It's not my time to talk, I listen. When my time to talk, you have to listen too. That's how we communicate at home. I learned how to ask for help. It's just amazing. And you know, when you guys talk about detached with love, I don't get it. Because I don't know how to detach and love at the same time. I know how to detach with a chainsaw. I love you. I want to fix you. I want to make you a better person. So I cannot combine these two words together. But now I learn how to love that person and who they are. If I can separate them as a person and the deceit. If I look at that person without the deceit, are they loving? Loving and kind and sweet? Yes, they are. But I can see when the deceit took over, they are monsters, so I have nothing to do with it. I have to learn how to look at things separately. Because for me, everything in one bundle. I cannot separate things. And, you know, about my mom, I feel like she never loved me. I realized that she gave me the best, everything she had. How my mom and my dad met, that my mom was married at the time. They live in the same neighborhood. And her father was a drunk. And her mom, my grandmother, beat my grandfather every night when he come home. Of course, my mom married the drunk, and he beat her up every day. To the point that one day he would beat her up, he was drunk, beat her up, tie her wrists together, and drag her in the river by the speedboat. That when my dad stepped up and rescued her. And they end up together, 50, 60 years, they die apart. That is love for me. So that's how my mom grew up. So I can see that how she tried to keep the best for us, that she didn't even have that life. I remember when we grow up, everything the best, we pick the best fruit, we get to go to the best school, everything is the best for us. And she have Alzheimer's 5 years before she passed away. She can't remember anything, a very severe Alzheimer's. The only person she remembers me. My name, my birthday, and what I like to eat. And for somehow, when she passed away, my name is in the paper that only me can take her body out of the hospital. That tell me that how much she loved me. But just because she did not express her love the way that I expected, then I took that as she doesn't love me. And when we talk about it, and my sister said, you always mom flavors. And I look at her like, what? She said that, and I said that too. It's just like, we grew up in the same household, but we see things differently. So for me, that working the program, that be of service is a very big part of my recovery. Because I don't know how to do things for fun and for free. I don't know how to do things without people seeing it. Because for me, I do so little, I talk so big. Everybody in the whole world has to know what I did. I brag about it. And learn how to be humble. Ask for help. I love the part that I have to go out somewhere. I got to go out somewhere. Ask someone to be of service. Sometimes I cannot even pronounce their name. But I never get anybody nasty back. They always say, oh, I will do help. Even though they cannot do it, they answer with a loving and kind. And that is just amazing that I love be of service. Because when be of service, that I get to get out of myself, and I get more recovery, like that triangle is what is that? Service, unity, recovery. It's so true, because when I go to be of service, we get unity because we do the same thing, we do things together, and we always talk about recovery. I get to hear same thing over and over, but in different way and different people. Because just me, when it's the same people say the same thing all the time, and my sick thinking is start going, oh my God, she's gonna talk about her cat again. And my head is just spinning, start jumping. And I love to go to different meetings because for some reason when I go to the meeting that I never been before, I feel like you guys are watching me. So I just have to be here. And when I start being focused and I get to hear the message, It's just my disease. And you know, love for me is just, I don't know what love is. I don't even know how to spell love. Love for me that when I see my dad and my mom, my dad is the man that he's a general. He controlled like the whole military thing. But when he come home, my mom is a queen. Everything is about mom. We are princess. And everything is all about mom. I look at that and no way I would get to meet a guy like that. And I look at mom, no way I can meet a good wife, like good mom like my mom. Why bother? And you know, people always said before the program, they told me that you hate men. I said, I never hate men, but I have no respect for men. And in real life, I'm working to the step that the reason I don't respect men, when I was 14, I got sexual abuse by this man. I never tell my parents because I don't want them to know that their child is not perfect. But I made decision that every single man in this world had to pay for because I'm being imperfect because the man. I never have respect for men. I don't even want to have relationship because I'm not perfect. Who gonna want me? I don't even bother. I don't even start. So I only go out with the men, just try to break their heart. I'm saying that not proudly, but this is my life and my perception. I thought I hurt them, I can break their heart, but the reality is I only hurt myself to the point that I almost get killed a couple of times. You know, I got stalked by a man. I think the one that is very obvious is we in the car and with this one man, and he asked me, are you finished with me? I said, yeah, I'm done. I treat him like a toy. And he said, you confirm that I'm gonna run to this back, send my truck, and we both gonna die. I said, it's your fault, it's not my fault. You're the one who fell in love with me. And he did. Thanks God that I walked out of that accident. I don't know what happened to him. Last when I walked out to the hospital, he was in a coma. I never turned around and I never heard from him again. When I do my nine step, my sponsor just write the name. I said, some of them I don't even remember the name. She said, well, you think about a way that you can make amends to men. I said, okay. And I found out that the way I make amends to do that, I respect men. Not every man are the same, especially you guys in this room. You show me how the real gentleman is. You show me how love is. And you know, especially this one, 7 o'clock, let's rock. You guys are a rock. And I wanted to make amends to you guys right now because I used to have resentment. When my husband used to come to this meeting, all of a sudden he come home, all of a sudden he has opinion. And all of a sudden he's not gonna carry my purse. And all of a sudden he's not gonna get water for me when I'm thirsty without telling him. And I was just so angry at you guys. You know what? Thank you so much, because that's what I want. I want husband who by my side. I do not want to treat my husband as a second resident anymore. I want a husband that will hold my hand and be my friend, not being my slave. That's what I want. And like I said, you know, the way I saw the love for my mom and my dad, that I thought I never find a guy like that. Today, I married my dad. exactly the same. And my husband is just like my dad, is everything about us. And you know, but of course, you know, my disease is still here. My disease is just like my Siamese twin, it's just right here. Never leave me, never go away. They're just waiting for me. Just right here, waiting for me, for my spiritual getting low and low, and with my ego getting big, and my disease will take control over me again. And you know, of course, my husband still don't do things right. And you know that, right? Do things right is doing my way and my way only. And when he did not do things right, just even tiny little thing, he did not put the water bottle in the right place, in the shoe in the right place, did not park the car straight. My hair was spin, and my hair already go to divorce. That is my disease. You know, I woke up with this spinning every morning. And this is the husband that, if I ask for the house, he will give me mansion. If I ask for the car, he will give me Rolls Royce if he could. But because of my head and my not enough, and I feel like my body have a bunch of holes, it's never enough. I keep feeling that with Louis Vuitton, Mercedes, mansion, all you guys, anything material. And I realize that I'm not gonna fix it. The only way I can fix it is me working with my higher power and this 12-step program that works for me. That's what I have to do. And you know, I have little time, I want to give this story that how is my way not the best way. So we love to eat avocado at home. And the way I cut avocado, I cut in half, seed it, and slice in a piece, and peel it nicely. My husband cut it, and used a spoon and smash it, and we make guacamole. And we just have this thing all the time. Say, you lose the thing, and you mash it, it's all mashed. And he said, honey, we're gonna mash them anyway. And I said, it doesn't matter. It's supposed to be perfect. So one day I'm just home alone and avocado very old and you know the peel is sticking with the avocado. So I cut it, I scoop it the spoon and I smash it and mash it and mash it the way he did it. And I realized, oh my God, I don't have to clean chopping board and my finger is so clean. But you know what? Greater thing than that, when he came home, I get to apologize and I tell him what happened. I know I'm far from being perfect. I cannot be perfect. And, you know, and our life too. Our family is not perfect. You know, our younger daughter get affected a lot from this disease. Actually, from my behavior. You know, she's just a good one. I put all focus on the one who need help to one point that she's 9 or 10 and she just come out crying as Christmas. She said then everything about her, Anybody see I'm here? I'm a person? I'm here. You would think that I stop and listen to her. No, I punish her. How dare you acting up? Don't you know your sister need help? You have to help us to help her. Here I am, I'm not just take everything as my problem. I will put the responsibility to a 10-year-old child to help to fix my people. Then I realized that now she's not a teen and we all program, our household run by 12 tradition. I am no longer the authority of the house. I am no longer make decision on everything. We have a meeting, we took the vote. That is how, I don't remember when the last time you were yelling and screaming at the house. And I realized that they are not my people. I have to put them in my hand and hand them to God. Everybody have their own God. And I just have to ask God that, here, God, they are your people. And you know what to do with them. I don't, because everything when I try to put my hand on, I screw it up and make it worse. So that is amazing. I just like, I am free. I would like to tell you that my family is so perfect today. No, But my family is perfectly imperfect. And we are so, I don't know, miracles happen. You know, you sit here for a long time, or you new, especially a newcomer, keep coming back. I hate that word. But it works. That's why, you know, I don't plan to stay here. But I know I'm here for life. I'm not gonna leave. And every morning I pray to God that please don't let me lose the interest working the program. And the miracle really happened. It happened in my life so many, many times. Just sit there and let God work miracle on you. All you have to do is have open mind and open heart, and God will bring miracle to you.